Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
One of the things that we are anticipating, of course, this week is MMRBQ 2019. It's Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So awesome.
And one of the things we're really excited about is our next guest who's going to be performing live. And a lot of people are mentioning how excited they are to see her on stage.
I've seen her a couple times. She's just amazing.
Please welcome the legendary Joan Jett to the show this morning. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, and Kenny Laguna, are you on board as well?
I am.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for joining us. It's great to have you on. Joan, this is our first time talking to you, so I'm honored to have a chance to speak. You have a long history with the city of Philadelphia and this radio station, WMMR, though, don't you?
Oh, I sure do. Well, first of all, I was born in your fair city, and MMR was an original, what we call, Blackheart station, which was one of the first stations to play our music on our label on Blackheart Records. So you're one of the original supporters that helped us actually be able to break through and have a career.
Success. And Joan, so when you guys were with the Blackhearts label, that was you were pressing your own records and doing a lot of your own marketing and
still do.
So and still do. So that was an essential part of the whole process for you, correct?
Oh yeah, well, it was survival. Because we had nothing, no other place to go. We'd been turned down by all the majors and the minors. They didn't want anything to do with us, and so we just didn't know what else to do. But Kenny said, "Let's print up some records," and we sold them in the back of our car at the gigs after the shows. And so that was, you know, before people even sold merch at gigs.
Yeah,
you know, it's hard to think back that long when bands didn't sell merch. You know, you went to a show, you saw the show, that was it.
So Kenny, were you the money guy when it started off? Did you fund all this stuff?
Well, I didn't have that much money, but I did have a little college fund for my daughter, who was 2 months old when Joan started with us, and there was just a couple $1,000 in there, and there was a fellow from Jane the Americans lent us a couple of $1,000, and that's how we started. We didn't really have much money, and then we started out. We were making like $250 a gig, which isn't much when you have five people to feed. And then we went up to $500, and we started selling out the clubs. And one of the things we did was we sold out clubs with MMR. In the days when the drinking age was 18, the club scene was an incubator for rock and roll bands, and we were very successful with that.
It's a fascinating story, obviously, legendary stuff. I just recently watched the documentary Bad Reputation, which is sensational. And then, Joan, I also saw you in another documentary. It's a New Wave, Dare to Be Different, about WLIR and Long Island and Dennis McNamara and all that stuff.
Right.
I mean, and it's that type of building a rock career the way you did incrementally, and Kenny, I know with your participation as well. The whole beast has changed in the way it's done. But, you know, as you look back on that, do you sometimes ever just look at each other and go, how the hell did we pull this off?
All the time.
Yeah.
Every single day. And I'll tell you, that's part of the pleasure of it, is that you did, you know, you stuck to your guns and you did it the way you wanted to do it, and you didn't change your, you know, who you were to do that. And so it feels very satisfying. And, you know, it could never happen again. You know, certainly, as you guys just mentioned, how the business has completely changed.
Mm-hmm. Now,
so, you know, the way you go about breaking things today is a completely different mechanism.
It's very cool, though, because I think, and we're thrilled to see it, because you have, I don't know if this is something that you perceive or if it's a little uncomfortable. You know, you're so many people look up to you, and you have this legendary status. And then, like, seeing you get up with the remaining members of Nirvana and rock at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and do all that you're in that place now where you know you're revered, and but it's not false reverence. You've earned everything you've got. Do you bear that well, or does it make you feel a little uncomfortable when people are so lavishing attention on you?
Well, I don't think that the attention is uncomfortable. It's, you know, putting me I don't know. I guess, yeah, it's a little uncomfortable because, you know, you're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
I just got lucky and the timing was great. And, yeah, maybe I've got a little talent, too. But, you know, all that combination, I didn't do it alone.
Yeah.
I did it with everybody, with you guys, too. It takes more than, you know, you can never say that you did it alone. But
sure.
Yeah, that makes me a little uncomfortable.
Right.
You know,
okay.
I like to... But I'm very proud of it, and I am very aware of how much people, how much the music means to them, and how, you know, for a lot of people, it saved their lives. It really gets them through the toughest times, and you realize it's not you. It's something about the music that you're just lucky enough to be the messenger.
You know, to
be involved and let it come through you. But I guess people relate to me somehow. I don't know if it's the underdog thing, and we all feel like such underdogs so much of the time. It's so tough to struggle through life on any level, you know what I mean? So people like to see underdogs.
Yeah, and
thrive.
And thrive you have, Joan, because if you take a look at when you began back in the 1970s, and here we are in 2019, the past 5 years specifically have really been it feels like a reinvigoration of your music, of the awareness, and things like the Runaways as well. But, I mean, you have the Nirvana performances, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as Steve has mentioned. Your music keeps popping up in TV shows and films all the time. Ready Player One, Stranger Things, Guardians of the Galaxy. Has this part of it been surprising to you that this many years later, it's still just that present, you know?
You know, I'm not even sure I ever even fathomed this part of my life. It's, you know, every day is an amazing day, and I just I'm thankful I'm part of it. You know, well, I know it sounds pretty stupid.
No, it doesn't. You talked about the underdog status and all of that, and I always like, yeah, there's Joan at it, and she's doing her deal, and that always appealed to me that you were just. You love the music. You persisted. And Kenny, when you guys were, you know, in the early days of the Blackhearts and putting the band together, I know it was the process of assembling the right band and getting the right synergy and the right group of people that would you know, work well with Joan. How meticulous, how difficult is a process like that when you're putting a band together, you know, and looking for that right mix?
Well, you know, we were struggling at the time, and you know, it was a lot of work, but I remember there was one fellow who said to us, enjoy this struggle because this is the best it's going to be. And there was some truth to that, you know, because we did get results. It was like punching at a wall and all of a sudden it gave way. And so there was a lot of joy to that. And I do feel that the kind of music we were doing, you know, I really believe in it. We spent a little time hanging out with Chuck Berry, Joan and I, and we were trying to get him to sign with Blackheart Records, which, of course, he spent about 2 years working on it, and it just couldn't get past his cynicism. But at the very end of a long haul with his cynicism, he admitted to us that, yeah, he loved rock and roll like we do. And there is a thing about real rock and roll. There's rock music and there's rock pop music, but there's the real rock and roll. And, you know, to have been a small part of that was joyful. And, you know, that's...
Sure, I mean, and your guys, I mean, specifically, I was reading, and I'd forgotten this, but Joan, you did a little bit of work with the Sex Pistols, correct?
Yeah, well, after they had broken up. Yeah, I worked with some of the guys, yeah.
I mean, and obviously so that you have your, you know, the punk cred, you have the straight-up rock cred, and the different artists that you've worked with from Petty to the Ramones to even Van Halen, you know, across all those, I mean, they're all with under the rock banner, but that audiences for those various artists would be accepting of you, I think that's got to say a lot to you. Was there ever any audience you got up in front of when you were working with another artist where you thought, okay, this is a crapshoot as to whether or not they're going to like me?
Oh, yeah, there was plenty of times. I mean, now it might seem like people can be accepting, but you know, several years, I'd say in the 80s, mid-80s. We were having success in the States, but we were on the road in Europe, Italy, I believe. And, you know, I know what the story is, but
right.
At the time, we were playing opening with playing with the Scorpions, and there was another opening act, and there were two shows in one city. We did the show one night. The next night, the opening band wasn't on the bill, and we went out to do the show, and I got destroyed by this Italian crowd. They worked up loogies. They drenched me in spit.
Ugh.
They were throwing stuff at me, and I was just covered from head to toe in dripping, gross, just like you're thinking, loogies. And I had no idea why and what that was about. And, you know, and I found out years later that because the Scorpions got the first band thrown off the bill because they wanted to go to a car show. And so they blamed me, and they had a female lead singer saying that I didn't want to play with another girl on the act. So that's why they came out.
There was a lot of resistance.
Well, I remember you, Joan, the 1980s. The opening act was the Lamb for the Slaughter, and it usually worked that way. I saw Van Halen. It might have been the Diver Down tour, and whoever the opening act was, I never even heard them because the boos were just constantly through the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's certainly a different time now, but you had to. It would drive people right out of the business, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, totally understand why people don't want to put up with it. And certainly in the Runaways, we took so much verbal abuse, not to mention people throwing stuff at us. But the verbal abuse is really intense and can be, I think, more destructive, especially people when you're younger. You know, you've got don't have a strong self-esteem.
Yeah.
Unless you feel very strong in your confidence and your self-esteem. It's the sort of thing that can really send you over the edge. So,
Jonah's career is so long. I want to point out that Van Halen and Tom Petty and other bands opened for the Runaways. Runaways did not open. They opened for the Runaways.
Yeah.
And, it's true. And you know, there were times when we played in front of techno bills.
Yeah.
And for instance, we played one time before we did the Who tour a few years ago. The Who were very close to us, and we loved them, and they loved Joan right from the beginning. We played with the Who, and they had B-52s on the bill. And the Who crowd didn't like the B-52s. I guess they were too whatever.
Yeah.
And they did not last through two songs. So that was that, and we saw that happen. And then later on, we had a wonderful tour with the Police. We came back and we did a tour with the Police where they had a lot of techno bands like Flock of Seagulls and Talking Heads. And they pummeled us. They were just stuck.
Yeah,
without
the
world. Wow. You know, so, you know, you see the different things. Because I think at one point Sting said he hated rock and roll. So there was, you know, we're there with the big hit, I Love Rock and Roll, and there was signs, I hate rock and roll.
two diametrically opposed positions. But, I can see where that might be a little difficult.
Yeah.
Joan, I wanted to ask you because, and I forgot about this, I don't even know this is true, but didn't Mattel release a Joan Jett Barbie doll at one point?
Yeah, they did.
Do you have any?
I think I have one, yeah.
I mean,
don't know, Kenny, do you have one?
I probably have one. I have one of the trucks.
What's the truck?
Yeah, famous truck, those little cars they make. There's a big
they're
truck.
They're famous. Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels. Those must be worth it.
They made a Hot Wheels.
Geez, Kate, hold on to those because those have to be worth a mint at this point.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
There you go.
That's awesome.
I thought that was real. Yeah, that's a Joan Jett Barbie. Now, you know you've made it when there's a Joan Jett Barbie doll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, Joan, when you play
that's
the...
real. You know what it is? That's all you got to do. You just got to laugh go, wow, this is amazing. Yes,
Joan, I would imagine when you play these festival shows like the MMRBQ coming up this weekend that a lot of bands will, you know, maybe have a chance to meet you. Do you get asked to come up and perform on their sets quite a bit? And if so, when does that happen if you do that? Does it just have to strike you at the right moment?
Yeah, I'm not a big jammer. I feel very uncomfortable. I'm one of these people that like to be very rehearsed.
Yeah.
I'm not good with just, like, walking out on stage. It makes me very nervous. So, I mean, as much as I'd like to, usually I don't get asked a lot, but, you know, the few times I do, it'd be something like with the Foo Fighters, and we'd rehearse things, you know. Sometimes I'd go out and just play with them, but...
Where
I had to play one of their songs or like the Nirvana stuff.
Right.
I mean, I had to rehearse. You know, I had to go through it. I can't just go out there and just play it without practicing with them.
Speaking of Foo Fighters, Dave is well known, just rock fan altogether. Did he fanboy a little bit on you?
We fanboy on each other.
That's awesome. I believe it. That's great. Well, listen, we appreciate your guys' time. Like I said, there's so much interest and excitement about you playing our show specifically. So we are stoked for the set and, of course, the long history here in Philadelphia and WMMR. It's a perfect fit. So we're excited for it. And, Kenny, thanks for your time and speaking with us this morning as well. We appreciate it.
And thank you for all the support.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys on Saturday. Joan Jett, Kenny Laguna, yeah! Thank you guys. Awesome. Hang on.
So cool.
Yeah, very cool, man. She's sounds fired up and ready to go.
I mean,
well, this would be my first Joan Jett show.
She's too. Exactly what you want.
Yeah.
When she performs.
Yep.
Very cool.
Nice. Get a whole lot more Preston and Steve at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.